Beloved congregation, loved by God, the beauty of God's Word is that it speaks to every situation and circumstance of life. And this is seen in a most wonderful way in the book of the Psalms. God's people have always recognized the wondrous diversity of the Psalms. Calvin said, all the cares of the soul can be found within the chapters in the book of the Psalms. The reformer Martin Luther once wrote, in the Psalms we look into the heart of all the saints, and we seem to gaze into pleasure gardens, into heaven itself. Indeed, here bloom the sweet, refreshing, gladdening flower of holy and happy thoughts about God and all his benefits. On the other hand, Luther continues, where will you find deeper and sadder and more sad words of mourning than in the Psalms? The book of the Psalms is a very honest book. Here we look into the heart of the saints, and to be looking into death, yea, into hell itself, how gloomy, how dark it is there because of the many sad visions of the wrath of God. So you have many sides to the book of Psalms. And we confess to this day that the Psalms speak of the various facets and the state of affairs of life. Psalm 87 comes to us this afternoon to speak of God's sovereignty. And God speaks to us in Psalm 87 of the mission outreach of the church to pagan unbelievers. The 87th Psalm speaks of the book of life. It speaks of the glories of the city of God. Psalm 87 speaks of your and my privileges of being a citizen in Zion. It speaks of the birthday of the soul. Psalm 87 recalls the birthright of those who belong to Zion, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The subject is Jehovah God, and its object is his city and his people. It's a prophetic psalm. The sons of Korah prophetically looking forward to the further expansion of God's kingdom and the glories of Christ's church. And as we enter into Psalm 87, we do so praying that the testimony of the sons of Korah might also be our testimony here in this place. Now, we could read Psalm 87 in just over a minute. And the danger in reading the Psalms, and for that matter, in any portion of God's Word, is to simply read without giving further attention to what we have read. And in our devotions at home, it can be become a danger that we're reading the words, but not thinking about how those words apply to us and our life together as God's people. We need the time to allow the words of God, the God's word, to soak in and to impress our hearts and our souls. Now, this afternoon, we consider Psalm 87 under the theme, Celebrating Zion's Remarkable Birthright. Celebrating Zion's Remarkable Birthright. And as we do so, we want to consider in the first place the glorious city. Secondly, the glorious, gracious book. And in the third place, the grand inheritance. First then, the glorious city. Psalm 87 begins by speaking of God's holy mountain. That mount is Zion, or also known as Jerusalem. Jerusalem was God's city because it was in that place God met his people in praise and offerings, where his people would assemble from all over the land and come up to bring worship. Jerusalem was a special object of God's love. The God showed a passionate love that never grows cold. A love not simply for the sake of Jerusalem, but for what Jerusalem represents, namely the center of the worship of God. For the Old Testament church, Jerusalem from the time of David always represented the place of God's presence. Now, that's not to say that God did not love the other cities in Israel. That's not the point. The point is, he did not choose any of them to be the worship center. The Lord loves the gates of Zion, for those gates represent the passageway, the entry through which the worshiper of God could come into the place of worship and the very presence of God. Today, the Providence United Reformed Church is our Zion. For we come to meet with the Lord at the beginning of each new week, to congregationally served by him according to his word. And of Zion, of the Providence United Reformed, glorious things are spoken. We think of the words that we find in Psalm 46. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. Or to go two psalms further, Psalm 48. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in his holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Now, in all of this, we must not lose sight of the fact that if the Lord God himself speaks so highly of the place where he meets with his people, so must we. You and I, we may not downplay the significance of the church, of the local church, of the church known to us as the Providence United Reformed Church. In fact, for us, the church through Jesus Christ must be the center of our attention. The Lord himself, by his very blood, laid down the foundations of Zion. The Lord Jesus is the cornerstone, and his people as building blocks to build up his temple. And as God's word in 1 Peter teaches, those building blocks share his glorious kingdom. So if we truly want to be serious about the Christian faith, and true Christians are, we must be serious about the church, this particular church. And as we are about to embark into the third decade of our life together as congregation, Lord willing, next January, our zeal for God's house must not diminish, but increase. For here together, we put our shoulders together, our minds and our hearts together to seek the Lord, to seek his service. We stand shoulder to shoulder as a hand and a foot to one another. We recognize how we need each other in the service of the Lord. We recognize how together we are to exercise our spiritual gifts, striving to be a faithful member of the local church is a response to what Christ has accomplished for redeemed sinners. Always remembering that the right motivation for worship and service is not to be accepted by others, think, but to be pleasing to the Lord. And not, first of all, to be served, but to serve others in the name of Christ. And not to be more loved by God because he already loves us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But that we might respond to all of that love in love for God. That we might find joy in what the Lord commands us to do. And so the Lord asks of us also through Psalm 87 that we give our attention, that we give our energy to the life of the congregation, not only on Sunday, but also throughout the week as we pray for the church, as we're involved in the activities that are set before us throughout the week, Bible study and fellowship, those activities will rise up in earnest again. I'm encouraged to announce this morning the formation of a young men's Bible study, future leaders or leaders in training for the church. And certainly, young men amongst us, be encouraged to step forward, to take advantage of that glorious opportunity. Then the outreach of the church, for others must see the glorious light of the Lord Jesus Christ. This outreach is also one of our priorities because it is a priority to the Lord Jesus. The Bible teaches that our Redeemer gave His life for the church. And in the same manner, the Lord calls us to give our lives to His body, the bride, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we take that name, Jerusalem, to our lips, by meaning we speak of peace. Your greatest need, my greatest need, is to have peace with God. And without peace, we're at war with God. And only through the Prince of Peace can peace be secured. The Lord's covenant with us corresponds to a peace treaty. Christ alone, the hope of the nations. And Psalm 87 is a foreshadowing of the expansion of the church when the disciples were commanded to go out to all nations. Psalm 87, foreseeing also the church reaching out in this community. For how many in this community walk in darkness? Now, there are all sorts of things that militate against us. The spirit of the age. That spirit is focused on individualism. And it's focused on the pursuit of happiness for the individual. And individualism threat inside the church as well. But as someone else has put it, if the single voice of a saint is sweet to God's ear, much more so the congregation when God's people are gathered to praise Him in concert together. A father rejoices to see his children, but rejoices even more to see them together, the family of God. There are those who've made themselves very busy. Life is busy, is it not? Busy with various pursuits. But sometimes in our busyness, we become unbalanced in approaching the call of life. And still others are unsure of how they may fit in best, not realizing that God will use us as He wills. We need to be found willing, willing. Don't think, oh, I can't do this and I can't go to that. Just go and the Lord will use it for His glory. To the outsider, perhaps, we are but a non-entity. People driving along Second Street, well, they may see the building, but what does it mean to them? But in the sight of the Lord, this church is precious. It is His cherished possession. It is an apple of His eye. And our Lord Himself says, glorious things are spoken of the church. To be sure, the Lord delights in our family worship. He delights in our service to Him day by day. But He has a special eye on the assemblies of the faithful and a special delight upon their devotion in their church capacity. In that sense, our worship from week to week, morning and afternoon, is the highlight of the week. The true church of God far excels all the kingdoms and the politics of the world. And we may know without a shadow of a doubt, the Lord is watching over His church. That the gates of hell will not prevail. That our Savior has promised to gather and defend and preserve His church. No, that doesn't mean the church will have an easy time. We do not know what difficulties will come upon our pathway as a congregation. And we know that as the Bible teaches, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. That our struggle within ourselves even is a protracted struggle of ongoing spiritual warfare. The world hates the church with an undying hatred. And we know that the evil one would destroy the church as to gain a victory. And even our own flesh gets in the way. And how we must be on guard to uphold the peace of the congregation, the unity of the congregation, in the sure confidence that God will keep a faithful people for himself, that he will keep the Providence United Reformed Church should she be faithful. Spurgeon put it this way: the foundation of the church, which is the mystical Jerusalem, is laid in the eternal, unchangeable, and invincible decrees of Jehovah. He wills that the church shall be, and he settles all the calling, her salvation, her maintenance, her perfection, and all his attributes, like round about to Jerusalem, lend for her support. What a beautiful way to think about the church, that the attributes of God, his very character, is given to us as a body of Christ to support us in all of the struggles, the questions of life. Well, then, who are to be found as true members of the church? And our answer is those whose names are recorded in the gracious book. You'll notice we've come to our second point. The Lord God is recording the record of those who belong to the Lord will write in the register of the peoples. The Lord is busy with his pen, as it were, writing in the books there are found. Now, a registry is common. Think of the census forms that we have to fill out every so many years. Check this box, how many of this and what of that. So the counting of the population of the land. Those involved in animal husbandry keep records of the livestock cared for. Talk to Arian and he'll tell you what he all has to write down in the registry books of the cattle that they care for from day to day. We think of our clerk who keeps an up-to-date registry of the church, births, baptisms, professions of faith, marriages, a record of the families, and also even when we leave this world for the next. But even more, those who are united to Christ, those who are found in Christ, know that their name can be found in the light where records are kept, the record of those who trust Christ for salvation. And they know that they belong to him because they belong to his book. We notice in this psalm God's act in writing down each soul who's born into his kingdom, so that within the body, the individual still is very important. Each, so precious is their salvation to him, that he does not leave this task to men or anyone, but that he takes this task to himself. He knows those who are his. And not one is missing. He knows where and when in the mysteriousness of his own work of regeneration in the hearts of his people as they are born from above. And that life, the birth that Psalm 87 speaks of is a life giving life that happens in the church. It's very significant, congregation, to see this. We speak with all reverence when we say that our Father in heaven is the heavenly registrar who holds the book of life, where the names of all who belong to the church of the firstborn, the Lord Jesus Christ, are to be found. For God takes pleasure. Here we are, creatures of the takes pleasure in the pen. And now while we confess that regeneration has its source in God's sovereign grace and power, it's within that power of God that He uses His church, that He uses United Reformed Church as an instrument of His choice in bringing souls to Himself, where the young are taught in the glory of the faith, and where we together as we mature in the faith can be reminded again and again of what the Lord has done for us, where we may be nurtured in the doctrines of the church, where we may be nurtured in the promises of the Lord, and the Lord working in His church from week to week to build the body of Christ. God uses the church as a very tool, the primary vessel and call to Himself, even as He calls us to Himself this afternoon in the preaching of His word, the primary means of grace. Through preaching, the Lord is stirring the heart to build up the faith. And then the sacraments, which we may celebrate, gifts given by God to the church to nourish us in the faith, to feed the faith alongside the same preaching. And as we go forward as a congregation gives us to be and do, there must be then a zeal that this place too may be a place where others experience their birth, their rebirth. In a very real way, we're born in the church, better said, reborn in the church under the faithful gospel ministry of the Holy Spirit-led word. And here we may say, I was nurtured in full understanding of my Savior. I was nurtured in the church. I was blessed by the means of grace. I was upheld by the keys of the kingdom. I was encouraged and challenged in the discipline and the discipleship of the gospel proclamation and the call to be disciplined in the word of God. Our text spoke of Rahab, Babylon, Philistia, Tyre, Ethiopia as those who can speak of their birth in Zion. In other words, the nations of the world, the nations who presently live in our own midst. Rahab is another name for Egypt, and its name is symbolic of. She, along with these other nations, were well known in church history as enemies of the Old Testament church. And they belonged to the company of people who would see the Old Testament church wiped away. To this day, there are people who want the church wiped away, even in our own country. But Psalm 87 comes to us with the Lord's promise that this one and from that one, there will be those who are brought to Himself, those who will experience the birth of new life in Christ. And how wonderful it is to see the expansion of the kingdom of God. In the Western world, it may look a bit dim. But there are places in the world where gospel light is shining brighter and brighter. And if it were not for the expansion of the kingdom of God, who would be here this afternoon? The voice that speaks to us in Psalm 87. Anticipating the heathen will find their way into the church of God. The day when those who are brought into the covenant community find that true life is to be found in Christ and His body. Wolves and lions converted into lambs as the Holy Spirit takes their heart and brings life to what was dead. That's how it works with the sovereignty of God. And under the rule of Christ, the head of the church, our blessed Redeemer is working to bring other nations to Himself so that they too may find their name written in that gracious book. All of this reminds us in the book of Revelation. You know that passage in chapter 20, commonly called the Great White Throne Judgment. And here we read in chapter 20 where the Apostle John is given a glorious vision. I saw the great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead and great standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged, each one according to his works. Death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life cast into the lake of fire. This is not a fairy tale. It is the truth of God's word. He's so serious about others who may be brought to the life of the gospel of Christ in the church. When we are born, we're given a name. And parents take great care to come to a name that their little one entrusted into their care carries for their life. We think of little Anna Lee, just born less than 2 weeks ago. And we think of the mothers in our midst who are carrying little ones now. And when the announcement of their birth is given to the congregation in their heart lifts a prayer. You will one day be found in the book in heaven above. When we are baptized, we're baptized into a name, into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And when we are given the new life of rebirth, we live according to that new life. The threefold name of God becomes, in a very real way, our name. And then when we profess the name of our Lord, we do so professing that He is our very life. And when we are given that new life, then that name we have been given from above, a name that is to be so precious to us, that we might be called a Christian, that we might be called a follower of Christ, that we might be known as disciples of our Lord, and that we might know all of this as our blessed birthright. Now, those who do not live out of the received name from above will not find themselves in the book of life. And how this emphasizes again the importance of belonging to Christ, belonging to His church. How this emphasizes again the importance of living according to true faith. What God's Word describes for us in Psalm 87 this afternoon must describe us. Do we find ourselves as a congregation identifying ourselves according to the teaching of Psalm 87. Just a word for the parents who are leading their children, that the parents may speak of their great, great task in entrusting their children to the fear and the love of the Lord. That these conversations may happen amongst us, that we may speak together of our birthright. We know what Esau did with his birthright. And we may not take these things lightly. The birthright is a serious matter. Now those who find their name announced in that gracious book are also brought one day to live out of the grand inheritance. Here we've come to our third point this afternoon. We'll be but brief. Those who love the church, those who experience their fellowship in the life of the church, stand together looking for the return of Christ, looking to receive the inheritance promised. That's why we say so often that this life is a preparation for the next. And that next life, even though pain is ours when a loved one passes on, even though there's a sting at the moment of death, that sting will not hold its power, because God's people know their inheritance is great. And that again is not a fairy tale. It is the real thing. God's people have an ear for that trumpet that will sound a day when Christ shall return to judge the living and the dead, even as we sang, as we confessed our faith. The day when our body will be reunited to our soul and made like Christ's glorious body. The springs mentioned in Psalm 87, the fountains, are a picture of joyful blessing, spiritual refreshment. This is the place where we're to seek our refreshment and how we need it. You know, when we start to slide in our devotions, when we start to slide in our church attendance or our church involvements, you get the sense of drifting. The great blessing that is ours to be refreshed from Sunday to Sunday is the blessing of then being strengthened by faithful service to the Lord in His church. Now, how do our brothers and sisters who are persecuted for their faith, how do they see this? Do they tear Psalm 87 out of their Bibles when they come to it? Oh, no. On the contrary, the precious promises in Psalm 87 are just what is necessary to lift God's people out of despondency. If you're struggling with a despondent spirit, go back to the promise. Also the promises in Psalm 87. There's a promise for the suffering church from God Himself. There's a promise for the struggling church. And every church has its struggles. A promise that understands that faith can never expect too much. The church that suffers knows that in faith we are lifted high. In faith we may know the refreshment of God's promises. And in faith there is a song with music praising God for our life in Him. Now the Jews to this day continue to attach their identity to the physical Jerusalem. The physical Jerusalem is a wonderful place, but they do not understand Jerusalem. And they do not understand that true worship seek the Lord in spirit and truth through Jesus Christ. And they too need to hear the gospel message, even as the book of Romans speaks of. Those who understand in truth the meaning of Jerusalem, they understand that their life is bound up in His church. And already now we may see that is ours because of the streams of living water. Strength to face life's trials and even tribulations. The Lord God pulled His people, and His people may never sell the Lord short. Psalm 87 has about 7 short verses. Just 7. As we contemplate what the Lord is saying to us, there is much in this psalm to encourage us, to comfort us, to challenge us. So as we leave our place of worship this afternoon, let us leave in the conviction of the Lord's blessing, the Lord's blessed promise to us and the strength of that promise. Someone once said that the life of the church consists of a kind of breathing in and breathing out. When believers gather for worship, we're busy inhaling. We're busy taking to ourselves the life and the power that God offers in the Son. And when the worship service ends, we're sent out to the stations appointed for us, sent out into the world to exhale, to breathe out that same life and power that we receive here in this place. May the Lord give us what we stand in need of. And let us take courage in God's purposes for us as a congregation. Psalm 87, increase our passion for God's supremacy, our compassion for man's soul. And may our prayer be that the Lord would raise up generations of people who will find their life in Christ and know His church to be a home of vitality, vim, Those who are older amongst us are passing on. The younger generation is coming. New ones are being born. Others are being added to the register. Lord, through it all, give us strength to be found faithful to His commission, both within and without, and that He would use us in His great purpose of being part of His great building project for now and eternity. Amen. Again, it is our privilege to be gathered together in the house of the Lord. We may be gathered in freedom and without hindrance. We may be gathered in the presence of our God, company of His angels. Welcome to all. Let us now fill our hearts together as we come before the Lord in a time of silence and silent prayer. And then we'll rise to sing our song of approach from the Trinity Psalter Hymnal 46C. God is our refuge and strength, a helper ever near us. confidence that the Lord of hosts is most nigh. We hear the call to worship from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40. A voice says, "Cry out," and I said, "What shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever." God stands forever. Congregation, in whose name is your help? Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Beloved congregation, lift your hearts to heaven and receive the greeting of our God. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord, through the operation of the Holy Spirit,